Welcome to the StrongTeams.com podcast, where we help leaders build strong teams. Teams built on empathy, understanding, and trust, where every team member feels valued and contributes at the highest level possible.
My guest today is Nancy Moore. Nancy is passionate about the local church. She launched NL Moore and Associates in 2006 to help churches and faith-based organizations take the guesswork out of their most important leadership decisions. 17 years later, she still loves jumping out of bed and getting straight to work, and I'm glad that she's on the podcast today. She's a graduate of Northwestern College in Roswell, Minnesota, with a degree in ministry. She also brings nearly 20 years of vocational ministry experience to the clients in which she serves. Additionally, she is certified as an executive coach, as well as holds a certificate in pastoral succession planning by Russ Crabtree. Russ is a nationally recognized expert in this field and a co-author of the Succession Planning Guide, The Elephant in the Boardroom. Nancy and her husband, Keith, have two grown daughters and have a son-in-law, and they enjoy travel, fantasy football, and relaxing by the water. Nancy, welcome to the StrongTeams.com podcast.
Thanks, Rodney. It's good to be with you today. Appreciate the invitation.
You know, Nancy, I know you and I have been journeying together for a while, but we've really never had a deep conversation about what it is that you do. I know you use lots of our tools in your processes, and I think that it's going to be just a really encouraging time for our listeners here today to get to know you personally and get to know your heart for the church and how you serve the church. So, Nancy, the way I like to start is helping our audience get to know you personally. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up, where you live today, kind of what your lifestyle's like and your children.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it's good to be with you. I am a Minnesota girl. I was born and raised in Minnesota, where it is very cold this time of year. And so as my husband and I have matured and become empty nesters, and he is retired, we now split our time. Summer's in Minnesota and winter's in Arizona, which is where I am today. So I'm down in Arizona. I have two grown daughters who one lives in Washington, D.C. She's married, and the other lives in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and leads a nonprofit there. So very proud to have two kids who have grown up and own their own faith, continue to walk with Jesus. That's our greatest joy. And now a son-in-law in the family for the last couple of years and waiting to get on that grandparent train. So it's a little bit about me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that grandparent train is a lot of fun. So that's right around the corner for you, too. And I think that you know this, but I was in Arizona for the last 23 years. We just liquidated in Arizona in October, and now we're in East Tennessee. But we love Arizona, love the lifestyle of Arizona, the weather of Arizona. Most people think Arizona is always hot, but it's not true, is it, Nancy?
Oh, it is beautiful through the winter months and blue skies, sunshine. It's just a really easy way to do winter. So we're grateful for the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, 8 months out of the year, it's pretty heavenly. You know, I would not want to be in Minnesota right now. That's for sure. For sure. You know, I know you have more than 17 years of experience in this field of pastoral search and succession planning. But tell us your story. How did you get here? How did you get into that business and that ministry? Tell us more about your professional journey.
Well, I think it all starts with, you know, coming to faith as a 19-year-old college student through a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. I came to faith at a small group meeting in a dorm room my sophomore year of college, but I pretty immediately got plugged into a local church. And I was really discipled in that local church. I grew up in my faith there. I understood I had a gift of leadership and a call to ministry. And that local church really changed the trajectory of my whole life. I am who I am today because of the investment of that local church. And I'm one of those people that when someone said, you know, the local church is the hope of the world, I'm like, yes, yes, like we are plan A. There's no plan B. And so I knew I wanted to give my life to service to Christ in the local church, and did that for many years, worked in the local church and served primarily in the area of adult discipleship, small group ministries, Life is Better Together. But then it came to a point in my own ministry where I began to wonder what's next. And I didn't even know people did church consulting, to be honest. A friend had introduced me to a former pastor who was beginning a group of people to, he'd done 10 years of pastoral ministry, 10 years in the corporate search world, and was looking to build a team to kind of help local churches find the right leaders for the right reasons. And I had been a student of leadership my whole life. I believe I have a gift from God of leadership. And so that really resonated with me. And I remember at the end of that phone call with him saying, I don't know if you can help me think about what's next, but I might want to do what you do. And, you know, it just sounded really fun and intriguing. And so a couple cups of coffee later, you know, I ended up joining him in that endeavor. And as NL Moore and Associates, I worked under the umbrella of his agency for a couple years, and then I began to have a vision to do things differently. I wanted to take a team approach rather than kind of be a small consultant, just working independently. And so launched NL Moore as you have it today at that time. And here we are now. There's 15 of us that work in service to churches across the nation. And we work in four big buckets of, first one is pastoral search. We do search for lead pastors, executive pastors, departmental leaders within the church. We do succession planning, the planned transition of long tenured leaders. We do church health assessment, congregational assessment. We also assess pastors as we do candidates. And then we do coaching for leaders and boards, post-search coaching. We'll do board coaching and development. We do succession coaching. So lots of different ways that we incorporate coaching into our consulting work with churches and those other areas. Everything kind of revolves around that, those key moments of transition in the church. And that's been a great joy. I love what I do. I love the people that I get to do it with. And I love seeing local churches navigate those seasons effectively and to continue to thrive. Like, that's our heartbeat, is to help every local church to thrive and to achieve its mission with its people, its community, and the world around it.
Well, you can hear the joy just oozing out of you as you talk about the joy that you truly do have in the call that God's given you. And there's no greater joy than that, right? Than to be serving God with your gifts and talents and seeing the fruit of that and seeing, healthy churches and healthy relationships. I know that's close to our heart as well. Interesting you say that one of the reasons why you hung out your single is because you wanted to do things different. But I've also heard you say about NL Moore and Associates that we see things differently. So tell us a little bit about that. Help our listeners understand what you mean when you say we see things differently.
Yeah, I think the foundation of it is that we believe that the church is not just an organization. It's also an organism. It is an expression of the living body of Christ. And churches are a lot like people. Like, they have a personality. They have a way of being in the world. They have a history and a reality that shapes who they are and what they aspire to do together. And there are also not only aspirations that they have and opportunities that are before them, but challenges and realities internally that shape how they're going to go about achieving those things that they believe God's called them to do. And so finding the right leadership fit is not just about finding prospective candidates with the right resume or the right successor who, you know, looks like they have the right background and education and experience level. It's really about understanding the context of the church, that unique body of Christ, who it is, what it is doing, what it has done, and what it aspires to do, and finding that leader that can resonate with that beyond what's on a resume, but just really come in and bring what's needed in the way in which the people want it delivered. I think that is the core of how we see things differently. We approach each church as a distinct body of Christ. We don't believe there's one size fits all when it comes to churches or leaders. And our evidence-based approach really allows us to see beneath the surface. And we use assessments to do that. We use the church health assessment on the congregational side, and we use your assessment and another one, a behavioral assessment called Clifton Strengths, to help us gain understanding of that pastor, that leader, And do those pieces also confirm what we learn about the church and the pastor through interviews and our interactions and, you know, good due diligence on the actual process of hiring? So I think that's the core of how we see things differently. We really see the uniqueness of each body. We value that. We view churches and pastors appreciatively. We believe that God desires every church to be healthy, every church to be thriving and taking ground for the kingdom. And so if we can be about helping align those things with that objective, even if the church is currently in a state that is challenged or in recovery, you know, how do we help position it to be able to receive a leader that can help it to move into a better tomorrow?
Yeah, you mentioned that you use our tools and you know, just for context, and I don't think you know this, I don't think we've shared this with you, but your organization would probably be within our top seven of individuals of use on an annual basis. And we have very large parachurch ministries, Mission to the World, North American Mission Board, you know, Young Life, people like that. I'm comparing your organization to those organizations. And so I know that you use a lot of our material every year, but you also mentioned Clifton Strength Finders. And when somebody mentions that, I want to hold Clifton Strength Finders up. I think it's an excellent tool. I think both of our tools adjunct each other well. They help each other. You know, leading from your strengths, our assessment's going to tell you how somebody's going to go about getting it done. And that's a lot about culture and culture fit. And Clifton Strength Finder is going to tell you what's the outcome, right? And so those two combined together make for a really good 1-2 punch to kind of help understand, do we have fit in a candidate? And so, you know, you mentioned the word fit. Do you want to expound any more on that? What do you, you know, you say the best transitional plans, you know, aren't just the most qualified candidates, but only the most qualified candidates that fit will succeed. And I think expounding on that a little bit more might be very helpful to our audience.
Yeah, I want you to think about, you know, this idea when I talk about fit, you know, 9 times out of 10, when someone is a poor fit, it didn't have anything to do with what was on their resume, or you wouldn't have hired them in the first place.
Yeah, right.
You know, it had everything to do with how do they bring their gifts to bear upon the organization and with the other people on the team. And I think that's where the power of understanding the unique wiring of a person really comes in, and being able to align that fit to the needs and expects of a church. If a church has a certain set of expectations about the way in which a leader will show up at the table, and you have somebody who has a great resume, right? Looks like they're a great leader, but they don't show up at the table in the way that that organization expects. They show up differently. It's not that either one is right or wrong. The church is still a good church. It has needs and expectations that are created by the unique people that are there. And the pastor has been given good gifts by God that God intends to have expression in this world. The question is, are they well aligned to one another? You can bring that alignment together, you know, the gifts of a pastor, the needs of a church, then you can really see something great happen. When it's misaligned, right, that fit isn't there, then it's where the church is demoralized and they're saying, you know, why aren't you doing it the way we want you to do it? And pastor is saying, but I got all this other good stuff. Why won't you let me do that the way I want to do it? And it leads to short stays. It leads to broken relationships. It leads to a lot of heartache on both sides. And so, you know, those two pieces, bringing together the needs and expectations of a church with the giftedness of a pastor who can meet those needs, but also work with the existing team and the staff that's in place there, you know, at a high level, like that's when great things can happen for the kingdom. And that's what we're about. Like we want to do our due diligence on the front end to minimize the risk of a poor fit. You know, at the end of every hiring process, there's a leap of faith because you can't know 100%. And if you can, you don't really need God in the equation. It's just a decision. It's not discernment. And I think the call of a pastor to a church is a spiritual call. And it requires us to say, God, who do you have for us? Who are you calling here? And there's a leap of faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, but we can minimize the risk that the wrong person is at the table, and we can maximize the opportunity to bring the right people to the table so that the church is really discerning between maybe multiple candidates who would all do the work really well. They'll just do it a little differently because, again, you're fitting to the needs of a unique organization, and it's not going to be 100%.
Yeah, I've heard the word culture thrown around several times already in our conversation here, and I know culture, you know, today is defined very differently by, you know, based on who you speak to. But you, you know, after reading some of the articles and content on your site, you talk about how culture eats strategy for lunch. And so define the word culture for us in your context, and then how it eats strategy for lunch.
Yeah. So I didn't just, you know, full disclosure, I didn't come up with that statement. I think Peter Drucker first said that. You know, it's been a longstanding kind of axiom, but I think it's really true. You know, you can have a culture. We would define culture as those unique set of values, expectations, things like the way a leader does what they do best, the things that are celebrated, the things that we don't do here, right? You know, in a church, like, we don't do that here. Like, that speaks to culture. It's the unique way of doing things. You know, if your strategy says where you want to go, culture is like the road that you're driving on to get there. You know, is it bumpy or is it smooth, or, you know, the qualities, kind of those unseen qualities that make it what it is, the kinds of processes that we engage, the value we place on people, the history that we have, that all shapes culture. And what we celebrate and what we value, those things speak into it. And so, you know, in a church with a founder or a long tenured leader, their personality is also having a shaping impact on the culture. So we don't understand those things as best we can, because if we don't attend to the culture of the place, not just their needs, leadership needs, or you know, kind of what they want the person to do, but how those things need to be accomplished with the right candidate. Like, it makes all the difference. Can I share an example with you? Okay. So again, this idea is that in a succession plan or a candidate profile, if you don't have a profile that also reflects the culture, those unseen things that exist, but you've got to know about them, you've got to figure out what they are, you know, you could miss it every time, right? You got to define that target. So we were called to work with a church that had a very strong founding pastor who had led the church for like 25 years, and he had been asked to resign because of some leadership behaviors that began to boil up. And it was a difficult season for that church, certainly. And in response to his departure, they'd asked him to, their founder, to resign. The elders decided they were going to shift the leadership model from pastor-led to elder-led. And they said, we're going to now have the church be elder-led, and we're going to hire a teaching pastor who can deliver God's word at a really high level. But we as elders will collectively kind of be the decision makers, the vision setters, directional leaders for the church. So fast forward 10 years, they'd made that shift. Fast forward 10 years to when they hire us. And during that 10 years, the church had declined from about 1,000 down to about 300 when they hired us to come in. And they had tried a number of different initiatives to like stem the tide of their decline. And they couldn't figure out, like, why are we declining? Like, what is that? Year. And so they said, can you come in and do a congregational assessment with us? And they're like, yeah, let's do that. Let's see what we can learn by seeing underneath the surface. So one of the things that the congregational assessment that we utilize, which is owned by Russ Crabtree, my mentor, and the company that he founded, we're strategic partners with them. One of the things that it shows is if there's a pattern of focus in the church. And what we saw in their results was, even after 10 years of this shift in leadership, it still had what we would term a pastor-centric focus. This is often a culture that is developed when you have a very strong hierarchical, directional senior leader founding the church. Like, it means that when important questions get asked, the first thing people do is look at pastor and say, well, what does pastor say? What does think we should do? Like, that focus, they're looking to that leader as the source of their direction. They want leadership to come from that direction. It's not good or bad. Culture isn't good or bad. It just is, right? Sometimes you can have a bad culture that will develop, but But in essence, this focus isn't necessarily a negative. But if it exists, it's important that you work with it. So when we got these results, I unpacked them with their teaching pastor first, because I knew this was going to be important information for him. You know, this church had declined 700 people under his tenure as a teaching pastor, and the elder board, you know, under their leadership, it had declined a lot. It was struggling. When I shared this result that the church had this pastor-centric focus, they're looking for a lead pastor to lead them. That's what they're still looking for. The culture is looking, and that unmet expectation is causing people to leave the church. Like, they want it to come from them. He burst into tears. And I will never forget, just, I can still picture it in this moment, the look on his face as he's got tears in his eyes and he's crying. And he said, I have felt like for the last 7 years, at least, I've been banging my head against a wall, trying to figure out why my teaching isn't enough. Like, what am I not doing? How am I not communicating God's word effectively? And I see now, it's actually not me. And so he recognized, like, this church needs a lead pastor. Did they need to shift their whole leadership model 10 years ago? They really didn't. What they needed was a more collaborative, cooperative leader in the lead chair. Teaching pastor decided to leave. We helped them do some governance shifts to get back into a posture, and then helped them hire a lead pastor who was more cooperative and relational and worked well with governance and wanted that. And now that church is thriving again. That was back in 2016. So, I mean, you look at that and you're like, how important was knowing that strong pastor-focused culture to all that had happened in the life of that church over the last 10 years? Had they known that when they made that initial decision, they would have chosen differently. And that information could have informed their discernment so that the decisions that they made subsequently would have not caused the decline in the church, but could have shifted things in a way that could have allowed them to continue to build some positive things coming out of that leadership change. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I interviewed David Fletcher, Fletch, better known as Fletch, from expastors.com. And Fletch kind of dealt with, around our interview, governance and the power of governance and how the failures of a lot of senior leaders are happening because of that lack of governance. And it's in that same space here. And being able to discern early, right, during the succession, if governance is there, if not, how do we put that in place? If we have the fall of a pastor or a strategic leader in the body of Christ, you know, how do we not blame that leader if the lack of governance isn't, there's no guardrails in place, right? And so I think that it's important for us to have good governance and good process and good consultants to come in and to help us do that. I just so value the work that you're doing. And, you know, something that intrigues me is, you know, if somebody's listening and they're getting ready to go through, a succession plan, or they found that they're in the same place of the illustration that you just shared. They're declining. They don't understand why they're declining and so on and so forth. What are the steps involved in a good succession and building a good, healthy culture inside of a church today?
Well, I think the first job of leaders is to define reality. I really resonate with that idea that really what we have to do is we have to move from our gut intuition to information that we can share, that we can all look at. And I think that information, when it comes from the body itself, is really powerful. The assessment it's not an opinion poll. It's a statistically valid and reliable church health assessment. It's not my opinion of you. It's a reflection of your voice to us. Well, I think leaders, when you are able to look at that data and really understand from the voice of your own people what's happening and what they're saying to you, then you can use that information to make decisions that will lead you in the way that you should go. A lot of people are intuitive leaders, and they do have a gut instinct about what's right or what's best for their church. But your gut isn't evidence to me. what happens when you have multiple leaders around the table whose gut instinct is telling them something different, you know, or we've got to move from information or from intuition to information and make the right plan and to make the right next steps. And beginning by listening, I don't remember who said it, but there's a saying, again, one that really resonates with me, that he who thinks he leads with no one to follow is just taking a walk. And I think many of us who are students of leadership, we don't want to be out there just taking a walk or doing something for the sake of doing it. We want what we do to have impact. We want it to be effective. We want it to make it better, especially those of us that serve the church. I mean, there's nothing more important than seeing local churches healthy, thriving, and achieving the mission of the kingdom. Like that's what we're on this earth to do. And so I think that purpose, that mission, helping to make those, get the information you need to make those right decisions and make those next steps, whether it be a transitional decision, whether it be a succession plan, like, you know, every plan's the right plan, depending on the circumstance, depending on the context. Like, what is your context? You have to begin with that level of curiosity that wants to better understand your reality, define that reality so that you can make the right decisions moving forward. And that's how we begin. That's the power of an evidence-based approach. And it's something that when I first met Russ Crabtree and I was introduced to this idea of this evidence-based approach, he and I just developed such a kinship around that because I could see, like, this is different. This is not what the average person out there doing search and or succession, and there wasn't hardly anybody doing succession at that time except him. Excuse me. It was just so powerful. The idea that you actually listen first and you use what you understand and learn to inform your decisions about what's next. Like, it's just a really powerful paradigm.
Yeah. You know, you've used the word evidence and evidence-based. And so what evidence do you guys have? Do y'all keep statistics, and what kind of evidence do you have that kind of quantifies, hey, the process that we, you know, that we come in alongside churches and have developed and implement, actually have credence, they work.
Yeah. I mean, that's the question, right? Like, how well does it work? Well, 83% of the people that we have placed since 2014, which is when I shifted NL more to this team-based approach and really focusing in on this specific approach to search and succession. Since we've done that, we've kept our statistics, and 83% of the people that we have placed are still in their roles. Beside that, though, I think there's the anecdotal witness data that we can gather as we talk to candidates that we have placed in churches, as we talk to the churches and the leaders that we have worked for. I mean, people who have experienced our work, most of them, I would say, loved it. They felt like it was really valuable and it did deliver what we had hoped it would deliver. And so that witness data coming back to us as we continue to work with clients, and 60% of the people who hire us, like for a senior level search or some hire us for a different kind of project in the future, thankfully not the same job, you know, or what have you. And I think that also is data to us that there is, there's validity to what we're doing, that it is effective for people, and the real-time impact that it's making with these churches is felt, and they value it. So.
Yeah, our position insights assessment that we use, and I'm sure that you use to kind of gain evidence of kind of what are the strength demands of a particular role before maybe we use a quick strengths or leading from your strengths to screen. We say that 7-step process of gaining clarity around the role is probably more important than the assessment itself. That clarity is so powerful to get people aligned in a common thought, in a common set of patterns, and a common understanding. And, you know, when you have that kind of clarity and alignment, oneness and unity and purpose tend to flow out of that. As you stated, when people have all these different expectations and perspectives, nobody's talking about them, they're unsaid, they become very divisive and very dividing over time. you know, and so just beautiful work that you guys are doing. I do my best to create a set of questions, you know, that I think will hit and highlight your ministry well. And Nancy, but I'm not perfect. So what I always like to end with this question, you know, is there anything you wish that I would have asked you that I didn't ask you that you think could really be encouraging to our listeners today?
Well, I want to touch on something that you were just hitting on then, and that is the power of using some form of assessment. Like we use Ministry Insights as one of the tools to assess candidates. Again, it's one of five ways that we assess candidates. It's not the only thing that we use. We use good behavioral interview technique, and we reference people before we present them to others. We talk to people who've worked with them before, and it's confirming that. But I think there is such a power when you get somebody who is a really effective interviewer, a candidate, and you're talking to that person and you're like, wow, this person really sounds good. And it sounds like the way in which they're going to show up, you know, first blush is pretty good. And then you run them through the assessment process. And we have actually an assessment team that conducts a debrief with the person as well, so that we get them affirming whether or not they resonate with the results. You know, do you see this as true? And I love the way that your instrument is laid out on the four scales that are reminiscent of like the DISC scale, you know, are on an appreciative thing of like problem solving. Are they going to be more aggressive or take charge? Or are they going to be more reflective? Are they going to be on an influencing, more optimistic or more realistic? But sometimes you'll get a real smooth talker in an interview, and then you'll do the scales and you'll realize this person could be so persuasive to a church, but the long-term way they're going to show up is going to be different than what this needs. And I think these instruments really help us, or if a church is going it on their own as well, like use a position's insight to define the job first and then run candidates through it. Give yourself some information about that person that is beyond their persuasive ability. Pastors are natural persuaders. Their whole job is persuade people to understand who Jesus is and what he life. And there's this thing about wiring and kind of God's design in a person that I think these instruments give us insight to. No instrument is perfect. I think I like using a combination of yours, which is more a little more behavioral, and the other, more personality oriented. The other one is more behavioral oriented. I like that combination. There are other things that, you know, maybe aren't as well suited for selection, but this gives us some insight into how that person is wired. And it can really help a church avoid a misstep of hiring somebody who is really good in the interview process and says all the right things, but the way in which they show up wouldn't fit the culture of that church or wouldn't fit the needs and expectations of the people there. And so I'm a huge advocate for what you deliver to us as one of those trusted resources that we use, using your tools and instruments have been just very invaluable, particularly in the last 10 years of our approach to serving churches. So thank you for what you do. And I just want to say that I'm really grateful for this instrument and for the opportunity to utilize it in the way that we do.
You're kind, and we appreciate your kind words. Our goal is to highlight you today and hold your ministry up. And we're grateful for all that you do to strengthen the church and the body of Christ. And we're grateful to be in a partnership with you. So tell our listeners how they might find you, Nancy. What's the best way if they want to learn more about you and your ministry and your organization, how do they find you?
Yeah, they can go to our website, which is nlmoore.com. I am the NL Moore of NL Moore and Associates. Obviously not really creative in my branding, but gets the job done. And so they can visit us on the website. My email is nancy@nlmoore.com. And I think one of the things that anyone would find about any member of our team is that we are very accessible to people. We're very relational in our approach. We are not trying to be a corporation in the sense of bringing our work to the church as a corporate vendor. We are people of faith. Everyone on our team has a background of vocational ministry. Everyone on our team loves the local church and feels called to this mission of helping local churches to thrive and to be healthy, you know, pursue transformation, pursue health and vitality, not just for the congregation, but for its leadership and its structure as well. So, yeah, we welcome anyone's questions. And nlmore.com, nancy@nlmore.com, you can reach out.
Well, Nancy, thank you for spending time with us today. I know that you're really busy. It took us a while to get this on the calendar, but I'm grateful. I know that our listeners will be incredibly encouraged. My guest today, again, has been Nancy Moore, the founder of NL Moore & Associates. If you want to find out more, that's nlmoore.com. And Nancy, thank you for your time today. We're grateful.
Thanks, Robbie. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, until we meet again, God bless.